Open your Bibles, please, to Deuteronomy, chapter 32. Deuteronomy, chapter 32. Such is the disobedience and rebellion of Israel that God pronounces these words of judgment upon them. And when I read this, I think about the United States of America. God had done so much for us, and so much to us, so much with us. And yet we corrupted ourselves before God. We worshiped false gods. I'm just going to read a few of these verses, but after describing how God chose them and when he divided the inheritance among the nations, he did it according to the number of the children of Israel. He blessed them, he clothed them, he fed them, he magnified his name in their midst. He followed them day in and day out, day and night. And yet, verse 15, Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. And then he forsook God. God has blessed us so greatly, so richly, more than any other nation on the face of the earth, that then we forsook God. Our leaders and certain groups want to move his name from everything that's around the Capitol, throughout the United States. They don't want his name around. Anything to remind them of God, their past, their glorious history. Then they forsook God which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of their salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, and with abomination provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, and churches throughout the United States today are not sacrificing to God. They meet together and they worship, and their worship is sacrificing to devils. And they don't know it. The gods whom they knew not, to new gods they came, newly up, whom their fathers feared not. Of the rock that beget thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee out of one man, Abraham. God raised up this nation. They forgot their history. They forgot their God. Turn their back on their God. And then drop on down with me, if you will, to verse 28. For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Their counselors are liars and perverters and twisters of the truth. And so there's no understanding with the people. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end, or what their end is going to be, turning their back upon God. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them? God, the Lord, has shut them up. Let them go. For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being the judges. Their vine is of the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons, and the cruel venom of asp. Is not this laid up in store with me, and sealed up among my treasures? It's in that. What that means is this is in the hands of God. To me, to God, belongeth vengeance and recompense. Thy foot shall slide in due time. That's the title of my message this morning, in due time. In due time. When's this going to happen? In due time. In these verses, the Almighty threatens vengeance. He calls heaven and earth to witness how he made these people his people, how he clothed them, how he blessed them, how he was with them. And yet they forsook him. They corrupted themselves. They worshiped devils and called it worshiping God. He calls heaven and earth to witness. And in these verses, the Almighty threatens vengeance and judgment against these unbelieving and disobedient and rebellious people. Calls heaven and earth to witness. And it shall eventually come for our day, for our nation. It shall eventually come. It shall inevitably come. It shall inevitably come. It may be tomorrow. It may be next week. Maybe next month. It may be many years from now. I don't think it will. But it shall surely come, most certainly. You can't get by with playing with God. You can't get by with spitting in God's face. You can't get by with turning your back on God. God said in the scriptures of old, he said, you've showed me your back, and now I'll show you my back. All you see of me is my back. Their foot shall slide in due time. What does that mean, in due time? It's in the scriptures used in various forms, in due time. Our Lord went through his ministry and he said people tried to catch him and kill him and cast him off a cliff and kill him and stone him to death and kill him, but he escaped because his hour had not yet come. Then one day he said, for this purpose came I into the world, and mine hour is come, and I'm going to Jerusalem to die in the fullness, in God's appointed time. That's what it means from the divine side. It means in God's appointed time, when the hour is come, when God's ready, when God appointed the time. That's what it means, in due time, in God's own time. He only has the power over life and death. Our times, what this is saying is, my times are in the hands of God. Your times are in the hands of God. If you see another sunset, if you see another sunrise, it's in the hands of God. Take the best medication, get in the best state of health you can possibly get in, that's all right. But whether you see another sunset, depend upon someone up there. God Almighty. He giveth to all life, breath, all things. We're in the hands of God. Our times are in his head. From the human side, it means from the divine side, in God's own appointed time. God set the time. Our times are in his hand. From the human side, it means any time now. I don't know. Whenever God's ready. Any time now. Look at Matthew 24 just a moment. Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 36, talking about the coming of Christ, the end of the world. Of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, only my Father, in due time, when He's ready. When the fullness of time had come, He sent His Son. When the fullness of time has come, He'll come again. But as the days of Noah were, this is the human side also. Look at this. When shall Christ return? I don't know. But as the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. As in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, and all of these things were all right, but they just left God out someplace. They put Him on a shelf somewhere. They lived for these things, not for God. Until the very day that Noah entered into the ark. They're just going on happily, everything normal seemed like. Till Noah entered into the ark, and they do not. They didn't know. They knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Listen to these words. Think about the reality. This is true. This is going to happen. Then shall two be in the field. One shall be taken, and the other one left. Two women should be grinding at the mill. One should be taken and the other left to go plummeting into hell. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour our Lord shall come. But know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what hour, what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be always ready. Always ready. Be always ready. For in such an hour as you think not. For most all of us here this morning, that could be right now. We came to church this morning thinking everything would go well, and we'd go back home this afternoon. In such an hour as you think not. We came to church this morning not expecting the Lord to come and receive His people unto Himself and come on down with His people and bring judgment upon this earth. In such an hour as you think not. Evil shall wax worse and worse in such an hour as you think not. Oh, me. They are liable to fall. If Christ doesn't come for a year or two or three or whatever, we are liable. Our foot is liable, if you're outside Christ, to slide at any time. Thy foot shall slide any time. Oh, to be without Christ. You know, when I first preached this message many years ago, I preached it because that very week, five teenagers, three in one car wreck, gone out to meet the Lord. And two infants, not under God's wrath and God's judgment, but it shows their times are in His hand. When are we going out to meet? When shall I leave this tabernacle, this fleshly body, in due time? Any day now, when God's ready, think about leaving. You're going to leave. Be prepared to leave. Watch ye therefore. Christ will come, or you're going to leave. One or the other. any time now. No man, this book said, no man can keep alive his own soul. When God calls, we're gone. When he cuts that silver thread, we're gone. And it could be any time now. I want you to think with me this morning, briefly as I can, about two things. Two very important things. Two things that couldn't be more important. Very important. First of all, the indescribable and terrifying danger of a sinner being in this world, living in this world without Christ. Without Christ. And some of you are there this morning, living in this world without Christ. I want to try to show you just a little bit what danger you're in. Your foot shall slide in due time. And number two, it is a cause for eternal praise and thanksgiving if we have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of Satan, and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. The awful danger of being without Christ. The unceasing praise and thanksgiving if you're in Christ. If you have Christ. First of all, then, the indescribable, terrifying danger of a sinner in this world without Christ. I can't describe what it'll be to go out of this world without Christ. I could only read some scriptures, but I won't this morning. But just to think about outer darkness. Darkness, darkness forever and ever and ever. And the bottomless pit. Spurgeon was sitting at the table having breakfast or lunch, a meal. I think it was his grandfather who was there. And they were reading the scriptures and said, what is this bottomless pit? And he said, when the sinner's foot slides, when he goes plummeting into outer darkness under the weight of his own sin, he shall be plummeting and plummeting and plummeting and never find footing again. Bottomless pit. And a man in this world, right here this morning, without Christ, is in danger of going to that place. Those who are without Christ are always exposed to destruction. Every moment of every day. The only reason that you're not in hell already is because God kept you out. He is keeping you out. That's the only reason. Your sins are liable to carry you down into the world of darkness at any time. Your foot shall slide very soon. Your mind, we're called in the scriptures. We have our mind is not only an enmity against God, it is enmity against God. Our mind, our thinking is an enmity against God. And God keeps you out of hell. And God gives you food and sunshine, life and breath. Oh, what mercy, what long suffering, what forbearance God has upon his enemies. And the Bible says we're always exposed to destruction, that we are by nature the children of God's wrath, that we're good for nothing, fitted for destruction, vessels of destruction. Not good for anything else by nature. Our hearts are full of evil, and God said evil only and evil continually. And our hearts are deceitful above all things and incurably wicked. We can't change them. We can't make them better. And we live like that before God, the enemies of God. And only God holds us out of hell at any moment. We are willfully, unbelievers are willfully disobedient and unbelieving. The Bible says concerning them that there is no good in them. They're unprofitable. They're altogether unrighteous. They choose fig leaves. They choose their fig leaves over Christ's righteousness, over the death and sacrifice of Christ. And they choose their own way rather than God's way. Because there's a way that seems right to them. But the end thereof are the ways of death. Only God's way. Take you safely home to glory. Only God's way. And the question is this morning, should be on every mind here, how long? How long will God suffer him to live? How long will God put up with this nation? How long? We are put here. We don't act like it. But we are put here for one reason. To live for God, to glorify God, to give God all the praise, thanksgiving, and glory. That's why we're here. Let me show you a passage in Luke 13. Luke 13. Turn there just a moment, please. And Christ, verse 6, and Christ also spake this parable. He said, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit thereon. And that tree's no good. He didn't find any fruit at all. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I came seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it take up space in my garden? Cut it down. It's profitless, it's fruitless, it's no good. And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it, and if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down, cast it into the fire. We know the rest of it. Cast it into the fire. Cast it into the fire. How long will our great God suffer a people who turn their backs on him and spit in his face and commit unnatural sins before him? How long? How long will he suffer us to live as if we owned this world? We weren't here for him. The world don't belong to him. How long? How long will he put up with it? We're just thieves. By name, just thieves. We're born into this world. We're going about seeking all the profit and the benefit we can from this world. And this world belongs to God. We're just tenants down here. Where's his praise? Where's his glory? No fruit under God. Cut it down. Cast him into the fire. We live as if this world belongs to us and that we were our own. But we're not our own. We're not our own. Thy foot shall slide, says Moses here. Thy foot shall slide when God's ready. Not when I choose. Not when some prophecy preacher thinks it might be, but when God's ready. And no man, not even the angels, know the day nor the hour. This is the picture I get. I want you to try to picture this in your mind. I grew up in a place that most people would call a terrible place to live, but I loved it. And I think about it sometime with tears because I miss it. had a big creek that ran through our farm, emptied out into the river. Our farm bordered the river. The river was part of the boundary of our farm. And that creek had places in it where they had limestone ledges at 20 or 30 foot, you know, you just cross that creek and the water ran over it continually. And green stuff would form on those rocks. And we'd go down there and we'd dare each other, and sometimes we'd help each other across and see if we could walk all the way across without falling. Boy, you do the best you can. And every now and then, your foot would slip. You went down so suddenly, thy foot shall slide in due time. Well, I made this step all right. What about the next one? Wonder about the next one. Thy foot shall slide in due time. I often fell down there, often fell. My foot slid. Liable to fall at any time. And when I slipped, my own weight is what carried me down. Didn't have to have any help from anybody. My own weight. And when your foot slides, according to our text, your own sin will be weight enough to carry you down and keep you down forever and ever and ever in that bottomless pit. Oh, God. But sinners go through this world like blind men walking toward a cliff. They don't see anything, any danger ahead. But their foot shall slide in due time. They walk through this world, sinners without Christ, unseeing and unconcerned, when each step may be the last one. If they can't weep for themselves, let us weep for them. Years ago, over in London, England, there was a preacher. I don't even know that he was a pastor. Maybe just a substitute. I don't know. But they saw him on the corner of the street one day downtown, and just standing there crying. Somebody came up to him and said, "Brother so-and-so," said, "what in the world is wrong?" He said, "The sound of Christless feet on the way to hell, breaking my heart." Don't you hear it all around you? The sound of Christless feet. Only the God whom they despise, only He holds them up. Only He, the one they despise, the one they hate, the one they care not for to worship or praise or offer thanks, nothing. But that God continues to hold them up, gives them space to repent, and it's only through His long suffering, His forbearance, and His mercy that they're not already in hell. He holds them up. Oh, the terrible danger of living, taking another step, breathing another breath, without Christ. Without Christ, without God, without hope. How long will he hold them up? But in due time, that foot shall slide. How long will He keep them from falling? I don't know. But their foot shall slide inevitably without fail. How long will he withhold His holy wrath? I don't know. But their foot shall slide in due time. Any day now. Now I have another part to this message, the second point. First of all, how terrible the danger to live in this world even 1 hour, 1 moment without Christ. Number two, this is my final point. What cause it is for eternal praise and eternal thanksgiving to the Almighty God if we have been delivered from this kingdom of darkness, kingdom of Satan, translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. Translated. How long all of us here lived in blindness and selfishness and unconcern, presuming with God, presuming that we'd have another day, that we'd presuming, taking it for granted that we'd see another sunset, another sunrise, that we'd have food for tomorrow, that He'd continue to give us life and breath and all these other things, presuming upon God. And all the time we're His enemies by nature. But we presumed upon God. Oh, what cause of thanksgiving if we've been delivered. Have you been delivered? Have you been translated into the kingdom of light? Into the kingdom of God's dear Son? Blessed is the man whom God chooses and causes to approach unto Him. Blessed is that man. Psalm 65:4. We're bound to give thanks unto God for you always, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Because God hath from the beginning, back in all eternity, chosen you unto salvation. He chose you. Through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth whereunto He called you. By our gospel. 2 Thessalonians 2:13-14. I want you to see this part, Colossians, just a moment. Maybe God will impress it upon your heart. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Paul said, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints, in like God made us fit, clothed us in the righteousness of His only begotten Son. God made us fit, gave us a new nature, created in righteousness and true holiness. God made us fit. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. And that word delivered literally means in the Greek, he snatched us out. He snatched us out from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. He snatched us out. We were all by nature on the road to hell. He snatched us out. He never did it because He saw any good in us. Just the opposite. Even when we were dead dog sinners, He set His love upon us. And in the fullness of time, when it pleased God, He snatched us out. When He gets a hold of us, when He sets His hand upon us, when He turns on the light, we see two things very clearly. We see our sins, we see our guilt, we see our judgment, we see our danger. And often, most of the time, I can't imagine it any other way, fear grips our souls. When the Holy Spirit is come, He shall convince the world of sin. God convinces His people of sin before He saves them from sin. He strips them naked before He puts the righteousness of Christ on them. I saw my sin, I saw my guilt. And I hope you this morning, if you've never seen it before, I hope you see it this morning. That God looks on the heart. Men look on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. Men look for reformations and changes outwardly. God looks on the heart. And if a heart's changed, the outside of the cup will be all right. I see the Lord Jesus Christ. I see a man coming into this world. His foot didn't slide, but he came knowing why he came. He came knowing that he would live a life of suffering, die a death in the darkness of hell. I'm not saying he went to hell. I'm saying God visited hell upon him. Whatever I deserve by nature, he suffered. And I deserved hell. The curse of God. He came knowing. He came seeing. He knew the last step. He said, mine hour has come. Let's go. Shall I say, Father, save me from this? No, that's the reason I came. I came so these people whom I love, that their foot would not slide, that they would not go plummeting into hell. And he laid himself on the altar of God's justice and said, put their sin on me and punish me in their stead. And God did. And that's all my trust and all my hope as I live out my days in this world. But I live out my days knowing that though I, humanly speaking, my foot shall slide, I leave this body, I leave this world. And yet I'll not go plummeting into outer darkness because I've already been there in a substitute. God plunged this world in darkness for 3 hours and dealt a blow upon his son so that I wouldn't have to suffer. The only reason this sinner is not in hell today is because God snatched me out of the kingdom of darkness, translated me over into the kingdom of his dear son, gave me the spirit of his son, the spirit of adoption, treated me like a child. He said, they'll be my God, I'll be their God, they'll be my people. Every hour, humanly speaking, there was a time when my soul hanged over hell. Every hour. And God preserved me. He didn't put an end of time. He didn't let time run out for me. But though I never thought of him, I wasn't thinking of him. I wasn't governed by spiritual things. He thought about me. Snatch him out. Go fetch him. Bring him home. And he showed me myself, and he showed me Christ. Oh, me. I've seen children. I mean, I've done it. Parents holding children by the hand, walking around a dangerous place or going across the ditch they couldn't cross alone. And the parent, by the grip on their hand, carried them across. And that's what the Lord does to us. I leave you with these words. Often as the bell with solemn toll speaks of the departure of a soul, let each one ask himself, am I prepared? Should I be called to die? Only this frail and fleeting breath preserves me from the jaws of death. Soon as it fails, at once I'm gone. And this next line is horrible. and plunged into a world unknown. Then leaving all that I love below, to God's tribunal I must go. Must hear the judge pronounce my fate and fix my everlasting state. Lord Jesus, help me now to flee and seek my hope alone in Thee. Apply Thy blood, Thy Spirit give. Subdue my sins. Let me live. Then, when the solemn bell I hear, saved from guilt, I shall not fear. Nor would the thought distressing be, perhaps it next may toll for me. It's not distressing. Rather, my spirit would rejoice and long and wish to hear Thy voice. Glad when it bids me earth resign, secure of heaven, without mine. May God bless these words to every heart. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. You call upon Him with all your heart. He said, I'll be found of you. You playing around, you'll never find Him. You're insincere and honest, you'll find Him. Believe Him. Okay, David.